In this edition of Daily Grace, we join the 11 disciples on the Mount of Ascension. And to do that, we're going to look at Matthew 28:16-20. Matthew 28:16-20. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, quote, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." End quote. Well, this is a very familiar text to many of you. Anyone who's been a Christian for any length of time has certainly heard this text read within the context of missionary works, missionary efforts. It is a missionary text, but there's far more to it that makes it a missionary text than just the command to go into all the world. Jesus says that the reason that they are to go is because all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. This is a foundational point. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. Now, the point I want to make here is this, that the resurrection of Jesus was the beginning of the elevating of the human nature of Jesus to that glory which he had before as the eternal Son. Let me say that again. The resurrection of Jesus was the beginning of elevating the human nature of Jesus to that glory which he previously had eternally with the Father as the eternal Son. This is a profound thing to realize for many reasons. Let me just read from the Reformation Heritage Study Bible a quote that they say as well. They say, "Christ's resurrection was the first step of the exaltation of his human nature into the glory of heaven as the vindicated servant who had fulfilled the covenant." Who had fulfilled the covenant. It's important to understand that Jesus, being fully God and fully human, is now at the right hand of the Father. Humanity in him, those who are in him, have been elevated to a glory that is unthinkable, unimaginable before the atonement and the resurrection. It was unthinkable that humanity would be elevated to this level. The wonderful state of Adam, as it was prior to the fall, even that state is not worthy to be compared to the glory which the Father has exalted Jesus in his humanity as the second Adam. And we who are in him have a share in that exaltation. The work of Christ not only reversed what Adam did, but far more. The work of Christ is not merely a one-for-one correlation. It is something that God has done beyond our wildest imaginations. We would have never imagined that God would do what he has done for humanity by sending his Son. For Jesus has taken on human flesh. He has taken on human nature. And he has redeemed human nature by his life, his perfect life of obedience, by his sacrificial death, by his bodily resurrection, and now by his ascension into heaven at the right hand of the Father, where all authority has been given to him in heaven and on earth. Jesus is everything in his humanity that we are called to be in him. Let me just read you a few texts from John 17. These are quite profound things, I realize. John 17:5, in his high priestly prayer, Jesus says this, "And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." And then in verses 20 through 26 of that same prayer, we read, "I do not pray for these alone," meaning the disciples, "but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them." End quote. Let me say it again. The resurrection of Christ was the first step of the exaltation of his human nature into the glory of heaven, as a vindicated servant who had fulfilled the covenant. That's a direct quote from the Reformation Heritage Study Bible, page 1550. And they're right. The resurrection was the first step in the exaltation of Christ's human nature to the glory of heaven. And because you are in him, you too are being elevated to that same glory. That's your destiny. That's the inheritance that you have been given. You are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. So, given that awareness, given that what I've just told you, we understand a little differently now when we say that Jesus came and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Everything belongs to Jesus. Everything belongs to him as the eternal Son and now as the exalted Son of God in the flesh. The humanity of Jesus has been exalted, and that is our destiny as well. Go, therefore, now we have a message, don't we? Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. Make baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Our basis for evangelization is not merely to make converts, but to make disciples. Disciples who are baptized into fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptized into fellowship with the triune God. Living fellowship with the triune God. And then they are to be taught to observe all things that that Jesus commanded the apostles. This is a profound thing in itself. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul speaks of how the Lord of the church gave gifts to the church so that there would be pastors, teachers, evangelists, apostles. And he did that so that we would be growing up, we would be equipped for the work of the ministry while we're here, and that we would attain to spiritual maturation. And he gave some, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God's paramount purpose, if you are in Christ, is to conform you into the moral image of his Son, so that you share in his glory, so that the Father will answer the prayer that Jesus prayed for us in John 17, that where he is, we may be with him, and that we might know the love that he has for Jesus. What we read in John 17 is that the Father loves you just as he loves Jesus, because you are in him. You are in Jesus. My brothers and sisters, this is great news. This is profound news. I hope you'll take some time to think on these things. I hope you'll take some time to meditate on these things. Read the passages I read to you out of John 17, verses 5, and then verses 20 through 26. Read them over and over, and come to realize the gift that you have been given. The gift that you have been given, that you are in Christ. And if you are not in Christ, or if you have a shallow faith, if you only have thought that you were in Christ, and you by hearing this have come to understand that perhaps you are not, that you were told to simply pray a prayer, and that you were on your way to heaven, and you've continued to live a life of self-will, run riot since then, now is the time for you to repent. Now is the time for you to come to true faith. Now is the time for you to be actually in Christ and share in the glory, not only of today, but for the glory to which we are destined in the future as well. I hope you do so. And may the Lord bring his goodness into your life in a way you've never known before. Amen.